where we're at with our nurses and our nursing shortage, it's very hard to prevent burnout. We as nurses can do everything we possibly can to prevent it, but at the end of the day, it's the environment that we're in. If you are burnt out, that's okay. You are not like any less of a nurse. Know that it's not just because of you, it's because of the environment that you're in. When life gives you lemons, what do you do with them?
Over here at The Squeeze, we talk about it.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Wednesday. Happy, happy Wednesday. We are here with two Taylors and a Doge. Little Remy. Okay, should we start with a citrus cartwheel?
Sure, we should, so we don't forget. Long drum roll.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
I
always say that when I die, this is going to be one of the first questions I ask. The chicken had to have come first.
Yeah, it's a tough one but I would say the chicken, because how do you get an egg without a chicken?
And then the other people would say, how do you get a chicken without an egg?
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
I honestly just hate that question.
You,
every time anybody asks it, I'm like, I know, I get it. It's a fun question, but it just pisses me off that I don't know.
I'm gonna go with the chicken. You want to pull one more?
Yeah. Who was your childhood actor, actress crush?
Oh, wow.
Depends like how deep into childhood. Because like I
know, I'm trying to think if I have one.
I feel like as far back as I can remember, I feel like it was like Ashley Tisdale from High School Musical.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah, maybe it was from that. I know.
That's funny though, because I was gonna say, like, I was trying to think of male, like, characters that I would watch, and I would probably say one of Dylan or Cole.
Wow, so
Zach,
both
so basically,
from Sweet Life, Zack and Cody. developed some good crushes.
Was that show? Would you have watched that?
I forgot
that?
She was on that show.
Yeah.
Well, who did she play?
Maddie. Whoa.
What?
Hey, sweet thing. That's what Dylan's character would say to her. I think it was Maddie.
Yeah, I definitely saw it, but it wasn't. I think it was just a little late for me.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard for me to believe that she could have been my first crush.
I wonder when it came out. Let me see.
Jessica Alba is like,
yeah, that's
who
your
I
guess,
always
yeah.
like say.
The first episode of this came out in 2005.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would have been 13.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, and she was like, they were like supposed to be that age-ish in the show.
I think they were younger than that.
Yeah, maybe actually I'm looking at this in there.
Yeah, what?
Wow, that unlocked a memory of Dylan's character going, hey, sweet thing. Okay, let's get to this episode because I'm going to keep reminiscing on the good old Disney days. But as you guys know, Nurses Week, or I guess if you don't know, Nurses Week is coming up. It's May 6th through 12th.
Yeah, I don't think most people know that.
Well, now you do. It's a very important week, one that I hold near and dear to my heart because I am a nurse, if you did not know that.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. I'm a registered nurse. I worked during COVID. I also worked when it wasn't COVID. But yeah, we kind of like briefly touched on my experience in our first episode, which was like a really long time ago.
Yeah. February 2022.
Yeah.
February 2023.
Yeah. I was going to say, wait, what?
Wow. So long ago. Feels like it was yesterday.
No, I don't even remember filming it. It feels like so long ago. The studio looked different.
I agree with that. But then the thing, February 2023
was over a year ago.
Feels like it was very recently.
Yeah, I guess so. I figured that we could kind of like dive into my experience a bit more because we get so many questions about my nursing experience. Can you do a nursing episode? Can you share more about your experience?
Here it is.
And we're so excited to share that we've partnered with CeraVe to bring you an episode that is all about nurses, not only to share my story, but to celebrate the nurses in our lives.
Absolutely.
Because we could do that a little
much
more.
Much needed.
But mental health and nursing just truly go so hand in hand. And I think before working, as a nurse, if you were to have asked me that, I don't think I would have said yes, those two go together as quickly as I would now. But burnout has become such a prevalent thing in the healthcare system among nurses, leading to dangerous shortages of nurses and healthcare professionals in the system, which is something that I experienced and is kind of a big part of my story. But it's so important for us to show thanks and appreciation to nurses, along with providing tangible mental, emotional, and physical support. And that was a driving factor of why I created the Lemons Foundation, our nonprofit. I wanted to give back to the community, both nurses and people, you know, not in the healthcare system because everyone needs it. But I knew so many nurses that were struggling that didn't have access to things and didn't have tangible mental health advice.
Or just not know where to go.
Yeah, for sure. So that was kind of the reason why I started it. And yeah, I'm excited to keep going with it.
Absolutely.
But should we dive into some questions? You guys have submitted so many questions.
For a very long time.
For a very long time. We've gotten lots of DMs and we kind of just compiled them together. And I'm going to have my lovely husband interview me.
I am nervous. All right. You ready for this? I haven't done this in a while. All right. This is questions for Tay.
Ooh.
Nursing style.
Edition. Style.
All right. When did you decide you wanted to switch into nursing? And I feel like I might add, whoever wrote this question knows that you did switch into nursing.
Yeah.
Because nursing isn't what you always thought you were going to do. So great question, whoever did this.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of something that just fell into my lap. I don't really remember a time where I was like, this is what I do. I want to be a nurse. Obviously, once I started nursing school, I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But I had originally gone to school for dance. I was a dance major.
Dance, baby.
At Cal State Long Beach. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was the first person in my family to go to college. So my parents and I were like, I don't really know what's going on. Let's just try dance. And I loved it, but it was a lot. I was dancing every single day for a lot of hours and did not really have time to do anything.
Do life.
So I ended up going back home and just was taking classes at community college there because I did not want to waste money and go into debt just hanging out at university. So I went back home, was just taking prereqs, and I was also volunteering randomly. I had volunteered at in the like postpartum unit at our local hospital. And I don't know why, because that ended up being my least favorite thing, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I was kind of volunteering, and then nursing came up, and I think I was just kind of like, I'll give it a shot. Like I liked the prereqs. I loved like anatomy and physiology in high school. That was the class I did the best in by far ever. And I like science. So I was like, I might as well just like take these prereqs for it and apply and see if I get in to the nursing program. And I ended up doing it. And ironically, my best friend ended up applying as well. And we both got into the same program. But once I got in, I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
What was it that you think immediately hooked you and made you feel so sure?
I think it like ignited a passion in me.
That you didn't know was there.
Yeah, really. Because growing up, I never really like enjoyed school. I just like did what I had to do to get by. Like I wasn't like a studier. I didn't do things like that.
It's bizarre. I know you've said this before, but that it's so bizarre for you to say, because when you were in nursing school, you were the opposite.
I think we'll dive into that somewhere in here. I freaking loved it.
Wow.
Like
just freaking loved it.
I freaking loved it.
Wow. Freaking love nursing.
I think that's why. What is something that made school a little bit easier, because school was very stressful and nursing school is very hard. And you learn if you actually want to do nursing or not while you're in school because of how hard it is.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I loved making my study guides and learning It's just something that like fascinated me for the first time.
Isn't it nice when you get to do something that you love and are passionate about?
Yeah, it really is.
It's helpful. All right, next question. Oof, where do we even start with this? What was the most challenging part of nursing school for you?
Most challenging part, all of it. No, I would say sticking with like being disciplined. You have to be so disciplined on yourself to make sure you're studying, to make sure you're doing the things you need to do, because you have a test like every other week. And if you aren't doing good, then you're
bye bye.
Well, then you're kicked out. So
if you start struggling and start like doing bad on tests, they'll literally be like,
yeah,
you're out.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah, you have to like fail, but they'll work with you if you're struggling. So I don't want to scare anyone away.
yeah, that did sound a little brutal.
Sorry. No, that's if you're just like keep falling. No, they work with you if you're struggling with something. And, you know, the teachers are, at least at my program, the teachers were so great. And if I needed help with anything there, you can go in during their office hours. And I felt like they all loved their jobs. So they were all really helpful. But I think being disciplined and staying like you are, that was the first time I really felt like I was truly responsible for like getting it done.
Yeah.
Like on my own. So I think that would be obviously it's hard having to learn all the stuff and take these tests, but if you're not on top of your studying and you're not being stern with yourself saying, I need to study, I can't go out or I can't go be with the girlfriends or go see this movie or whatever it is, you have to be on top of your studying.
That makes sense. I mean, you didn't seem to struggle too much with that though. You know, just
I mean, it helped because I loved it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like,
I feel like you were never like, oh, I really want to go do that, but you know, I got to study for this test. You yeah. took it very seriously.
I did. Yeah, I did.
You're proud of that. Be proud of it. Did you ever think of dropping out or switching majors?
No.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah. After what we've talked about, I think we could have guessed that.
Yeah. No. Once I was in there, I was locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Although there was still like fear in me that I wasn't going to. I mean, it's hard because you can, you know, I got A's in nursing school. I never did that ever in any form of school.
That's so surprising to me.
I was honored, passed with flying colors. But you can do all of that, but you still have to take the NCLEX, which is the state license exam. You still have to do that and you still have to pass. So it's like, you feel comfortable, but then there's like always just like this like impeding sense of like fear that just slowly gets closer and closer and closer as you graduate.
Don't you kind of just like, I mean, this probably isn't the right way to think about it, but is it correct to say you kind of just have to get through nursing school? Because ultimately, all it comes down to is the NCLEX.
Well, I mean, in a sense, yes. But there's so much you learn in school that's on the test anyways. And I mean, you could just study for the NCLEX. But I learned so much in school, especially during my clinicals, that I used with me, like, actually working as a nurse in the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
You can't get by if you're not doing it correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Yeah. So I have been using CeraVe for years now. If you guys haven't used a CeraVe product before, you need to incorporate one of them into your routine. I've been using the body moisturizer and the face moisturizer for years, years and years and years. And I've actually recently started to incorporate their hydrating sheer sunscreen into my routine as well. And it has been a game changer. But today I'm happy to partner with the skincare brand CeraVe as well as the Daisy Foundation to help spotlight the resilient community. As a therapeutic skincare brand rooted in the medical community, CeraVe has committed to a multi-year partnership with the Daisy Foundation, a nonprofit organization that recognizes nurses for their service and support to patients and families. Together, CeraVe and the Daisy Foundation are on a mission to encourage patients and colleagues to thank and celebrate the nurses in their lives, both during National Nurses Week and year-round. You can go to CeraVe.com/nurses or visit daisyfoundation.org to learn more about the Daisy Foundation and how to honor a nurse in your life. To learn more about nominating a nurse who has had a profound impact on your life, visit CeraVe.com/nurses or daisyfoundation.org.
Where and when were you when you first heard about COVID? And where were you when you realized what it was going to mean for the future of your healthcare career? We know exactly where we were and what we were doing because we were 30 minutes away from hopping in a car to drive to the airport.
Oh, wow. I actually forgot about that until you just said that. We were, what was it? Probably March, something like right before. My birthday's March 16th. So we were about to leave to Florida to go to a golf tournament that we'd gone to the year before. We're like, oh, let's make this an annual thing. This is so fun.
For your birthday.
For my birthday. And we wake up and there's like all these like news alerts, whatever. The tournament ends up reaching out to us. They're like, hey.
They're canceling the tournament.
Or I think they ended up.
They said, you can come. They said, you can come here, but it's
They had closed it off to like spectators. And then I think they ended up canceling it on like the third or fourth day.
Canceling it.
They were like, you guys can still come. Like, we'll still, like, you can still go to the hotel, whatever, relax, go to the spa. And our bags are fully packed. Like, our Uber is on the way to get us and bring us to the airport. And I remember just, like, we were like, do we go? Do we stay? Like, what do we do?
It was, like, the morning of.
I remember calling my dad and I was like, what do we do?
Yeah. But, like, it was the morning of where, like, it, like, just really just dropped, like, all over the news.
Yeah.
And the news was, you know, saying that things are going to potentially shut down.
Yeah.
And that was the morning that we were supposed to be traveling. So we made the correct call and decided to cancel the trip.
Yeah.
But that was how we first learned about it.
Yeah. I guess at that time, I had no intention of working in a hospital when I got my license. I was working at a couple outpatient surgery centers, one plastic surgery place, and then one place that does like knee replacements, just surgery. And all of those shut down because they were elective surgeries and everything that wasn't a necessity shut down. So then I went back home. And then after being home for a couple months, I was like, okay, well, I want to do something. I need to do something. So that is what prompted me to apply. I was like, I'm going to apply to this one trauma center that I love. It was my favorite hospital during my clinicals. And I was like, if I get into their new grad program, then I'll go work there. And if not, then I'll just wait this thing out. And I got the job.
You did. You did.
I did.
And then you were thrown into the fire.
Yeah. When I started, we weren't COVID, though. I was on just like a cardiac observation unit.
Yeah.
And it honestly was not seeming like we only had a few COVID patients when I started working, which would have been like August of 2020, September of 2020.
I'm surprised there wasn't more patients then.
They were only on one floor, one unit.
Oh, they still had COVID patients confined to.
Yeah, but there was also a non-COVID patients on that unit. That was like that was like the respiratory, like cardiac unit.
And that's where they put COVID patients at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then.
And then yeah,
every unit December got flipped.
December, January, then we were just fully everything was COVID. Everything. Yeah, everyone was
there's
COVID.
There's no like different floors and this is this and this is that. It was just COVID everywhere.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for mental health and balancing nursing school?
I would say to make sure that I think having a schedule really helped me because I was like, I'm going to study from these hours to from this time to this time. Or I did a lot of study sessions with my friends. Like we meet up at a coffee shop and we all study together. And that was like my designated time. But then I still had like downtime and relaxed time where I wasn't studying or, you know, I was hanging out with Taylor. We were, you know, with family. I still had a break from studying. And I think it's very easy to get wrapped up in like, I need to study because you have to study. But making sure you find the groove of how you study. For me, it was making color-coded study guides. Whatever disease we were on, I don't know, diabetes, I would make that like one color. So then when I was taking my test, I was like, oh, I remember doing diabetes in blue. And that would help me remember. Some people would do flashcards. Flashcards were not a thing for me. I can't do flashcards. And so you just got to find how you study and then get that into a routine.
Yeah.
To get somewhere where you're comfortable and don't procrastinate.
Yeah.
That was a big thing because I would feel very stressed if I ever had to procrastinate.
Well, good thing I'm not a procrastinator.
LOL.
Why are you saying LOL?
You can read the next question.
Oh.
I'll let the lemon drops take what they want of my LOL.
Shots of fired.
Well, that's why we make a team.
Okay.
Make a team.
There we go. Yeah, I'm procrastinating and you're saying, hey, let's get this done because, you know, it needs to be done in 3 weeks from now. And I'm like, if it needs to be done 3 weeks from now, why the heck are we doing it now?
Yeah, and I'm like, because we have time. And you're like, no, it's fine. I can wait. And then it's like,
let's move on. All right. What coping mechanisms did you find most helpful when you were at bedside?
When I was at bedside, I don't fully know if I understood coping mechanisms very well.
Yeah.
I think the limited coping mechanisms that I had, I think talking with my fellow nurses, I remember, you know, I would call my best friend who is also a nurse driving home, or when we get together, we would like, you know, talk about some things. And then that was kind of like my talk about it and get over it, because I can't really. I talk to you about stuff, but it's kind of hard to explain things.
Yeah. And to that point, for people listening that doesn't fully understand what bedside is, does that mean they, like, people can be, you can be bedside, but the patient, like, is very low risk or very high risk?
Yeah,
right?
Bedside is just, like, if you think about, like, a hospital, like, all the patients are in a bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
It can be all different kinds of patients.
Yeah.
Like, you could be bedside with a patient that, you know, has the flu.
A walkie-talkie.
Okay. And would you like to explain what that means?
That'll come up in a later episode, a little foreshadowing. A walkie-talkie is someone that is fully, like, alert-oriented, up walking around and talking and knows everything that's going on.
But then you also can be bedside with somebody who's not, you know, there
fully
speaking.
Yeah.
I imagine just the coping mechanisms would need to be different with what kind of bedside you're dealing with that day.
For sure. I think that a good coping mechanism is making sure you're not, I guess this isn't really a coping mechanism, but making sure you're not taking more shifts than, you know, you can handle.
Mm.
Like picking up extra ones, because when I was working, we were very short. Which is still very much a thing. I think that was something that I really struggled with. And I don't know if I'm giving a very clear answer, but I think talking about it, I think debriefing is a big thing that can sometimes get forgotten. If it's a busy shift and there's things going on, it's really important to still debrief with someone on your team or your nurse manager, whoever it is. I think that's super important to do, because it kind of, like, you're able to process, you know, a code that just happened.
Yeah.
Or something. Are you able to process your day? But I think talking about it would be a big thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. What is something you wish you could tell to every healthcare professional?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a large one.
I think
I would have something that also is a foreshadowing to the same episode that we were just talking about.
I think I would say to remember that your life is also important. I think, you know, a lot of the time when I was working, I was so quick to push aside my basic needs. I think I held my pee for 5 hours one day because it was just nonstop. But it's a really good reminder that obviously, you know, there's circumstances that come up. You know, if you have to push your lunch an hour because one of your patients, like, just became critical, that's one thing. But if it's time and time and time again, you can't expect to be able to pour into your patients and be able to be the best nurse you can be if you are not the best version of yourself that you can be. And I think that's something that I really struggled with, and a lot of nurses did and still are struggling with because of this shortage and just where we're at in our healthcare system.
I think that is very good advice. I think that's something that every healthcare professional, could definitely hear.
Yeah.
Like that. How to better prevent burnout?
I think that what I just said.
So preventing burnout by just realizing, knowing that your life and time and energy and mental health and physical health all matter too.
I think it's hard because where we're at with our nurses in our nursing shortage, it's very hard to prevent burnout. I think,
yeah.
You know, I think we as nurses can do everything we possibly can to prevent it. But at the end of the day, it's the environment that we're in that causes the burnout. And know that if you are burnt out, that's okay. You are not like any less of a nurse because you feel burnt out. And that was something that I struggled with for a very long time and still kind of do, honestly. You know, people like, I'm like, oh, I worked for a year. They're like, a year? I'm like, yeah, I couldn't even see straight. I was so burnt out. Like, I think there's still like a lot of judgment around burnout because they're like, oh, people are very quick to assume. But burnout is a very real thing. And if you are feeling that and you feel like you've done everything you can, know that it's not just burnout. It's not just because of you. It's because of the environment that you're in.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, but I think there is a lot of judgment in the nursing world as a whole. And I think that can transition us to our next segment because we're going to touch on that.
Yeah.
So we're going to transition this into a little tea time with Tay. Tea time with Tay. Tea time with Tays. So I have a couple questions for you here.
Hit me, baby. One more time.
I would love the tea.
Okay.
I'm sure whoever made up these questions also would love
cute
the tea.
Little mugs.
Oh.
Sorry, that was my squirrel brain. Just like tea time with Tay, like.
Okay, and we'll just be sipping on them while we do this?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, those lemon mugs that we got.
Which ones? The ones I got you for Christmas?
Oh, you got me those for Christmas?
The super cute ones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, who got me those for Christmas?
Me, bro.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those ones. They're so cute.
The heck?
I was thinking more of like a teacup, though. Those are like mugs, but they're really cute. I haven't used it because I'm scared. It's so cute.
Okay, squirrel.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Do you plan on having another nurse on the podcast? I think that would be a great idea to do. Do, do, do.
Do, do, do. Well, you should mark your calendars for our episode that will come out during Nurses Week, which is between May 6th and May 12th, which I believe happens to be the 8th.
There we go.
So you should
mark your calendars.
Mark your calendars.
For May 8th.
You should make sure you subscribe if you're looking at me right now, and you should follow on Spotify, Apple, however you're listening to us, so that you don't miss the episode. Because man, is it a freaking episode!
You don't want to miss this episode.
Yeah. Don't spill.
Okay. Man, yeah. I want to talk right now,
guys.
But
it's
just
so
can't.
Good. I can't. I can't.
Yeah. It's
insane.
I will say it is one of
my jaw was on the floor.
One of our top episodes yet.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. We'll move on from that. Tune back May 8th for the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question. What has been the hardest part of your transition from RN, registered nurse, to on the sidelines? I know going from direct patient care to non-direct patient care can sometimes make nurses feel like they are not a real nurse anymore. And this is definitely something that you can relate to.
Stupid.
Stupid.
It's stupid. If you took your NCLEX and you passed, you are an RN and there is no job you can or can't do that will make you more or less of a nurse. Period.
Yeah.
Period. End of sentence. But yes, for me, that has been a very hard thing. I literally told Taylor today, I was out at an appointment and I was talking to someone and we're kind of talking about something that I've been struggling with. And I was like, yeah, I've kind of struggled with this since I was like working as a nurse. And they were like, oh, you're a nurse? And I was like, yeah. And they're like RN? The way it was asked, it was like, oh, you don't seem like
you don't give RN vibes.
Yeah. You don't seem like you would actually be like an RN. Yeah. And we literally just talked about this today. So that's funny that this is coming up. So you just gotta say I'm a nurse, period. Obviously easier said than done because I say that all the time and I still struggle with it. But
what about the difference between, because, you know, you've also heard this, you know, as well. What about the difference between working in the hospital and working in other forms of nursing?
Yeah. I think my answer to that is we have to keep reminding ourselves that there's nurses everywhere and there are so many nurse jobs that, like, you're working as a nurse, so you're not less than a nurse. Like, nurses that are in, that work in the hospital, nurses that have been there for 20, 30 years, they just have the personality type that can do that. They're, you know, they mentally can do that. I've worked with a lady who had been on night shift for 25 years. And, like, I could never do that. I did night shift for a couple months and I was like, bye, I can't do this. So it's just, it's whatever suits you. You know, we're not all the same pant size. We don't like the same food. We don't like the same color. We don't like the same music. We all are different. And we have to remember to carry that into our line of work. You got to love what you're doing when you're working. But if you are a registered nurse, then you're a nurse, and there is nothing that makes you more or less of a nurse from the job that you do.
Yeah. I just feel like as a whole, there just needs to be so much less judgment cast, you know.
You want to read the next question?
Oh, sure. Okay. Senior nurses making you feel less than. Was that something you ever dealt with?
Well, yes, it was, Taylor. Thank you for asking me.
I had a feeling.
It was for sure one, which I just never understood, because even when I was working and there was a new nurse that came, like, I just wanted to help them. I wanted them to thrive and succeed and make them feel important and valued and a part of the team. Because at the end of the day, you are a team. Like, you're a unit. You work, like, obviously you as an individual nurse have your own patients, but you're a team. You go on break. Like, so many times I had nurses help, you know, cover my patients, or, you know, I was busy with one, they'd go, like, change the IV bag on another patient, and vice versa. So you are a team, and this is something that I never understood. And I remember I would come home and be this one lady would tell me things like, you know, I'm the only person that's left of my new grad program. Like, I was the strongest one. I was the only one that, like, made it out. And it made it feel like, oh, so I can't, like, leave. Like, me, back to the previous question, me leaving makes me, like, less of a nurse. And that was like, there was so much bullying, and there was, like, a few other things from different nurses too that I got. And I was always nothing but kind to them. And also so quick to help them with their patients, because I wanted to gain their respect too.
Yeah.
So it's just something I'm not that type of person that believes in, like, seniority of things. Obviously, you know, there'll be a nurse that's like, so basically, like, on units, you float to other units that are short, and all the two other units on our floor, they all just went through their whole nurse list, and ours would reset every 2 weeks, every pay period. So the senior nurses never, ever, ever had to float. And I was floating every 2 weeks. I would go to a different unit every 2 weeks.
I think if you're saying you don't believe in seniority, that's a little...
I'm saying...
They deserve something different.
I do believe in that. Yes, but...
It's like, it's the same thing as if you're a pilot. If you've been a pilot for 20 years versus a year, the pilots that have been 20 years get to choose their schedule over, you know, the person.
Well, they do get that. They do get for scheduling. I'm fine with that. They've been there longer. But I think, like, them, you know, I just think it needs to be a good environment. Like, things like that, of course.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that completely. But when it changes the environment and, you know, the new nurse is being kicked to the curb every time, and it's not the same on the other units, because that was a big thing, is the other units weren't like that. They would all shift through for floating. But when I'm trying to learn how to be a nurse on my floor, I have to float to rehab every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's something I know absolutely nothing about, nor do I work on that floor and need to gain that knowledge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's something to figure out. But the biggest problem is
the bullying.
Competitiveness.
Yeah.
Nurses shouldn't be competitive with one another, because, like you said, that's a teamwork job.
Yeah.
There should be no competitiveness. Ego. There should be no ego. You know, it's such an amazing job, that everybody that does it is truly a hero. But you can't let an ego get involved with that.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, what you're talking about, that's all just ego.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, unfortunate because everybody there is working their butt off.
Yeah.
For others.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that was my biggest thing is like, I'm working just as hard, if not a little harder because I have to come in early because I don't know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
The bullying is.
The bullying, the competitiveness, like just that whole side of it is definitely real. And something that I don't know how you fix it, but
I don't know how I fix it, but there is movement.
We'll go forward with that.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Was there ever a time a patient said or showed a thank you that really touched your heart?
So I had to think about this one. And at first I was like, there's actually, I can't really think like of a time that like stands out. But then I actually thought back to nursing school. I don't know if you'll remember this, but during my psych rotation, I got to do a rotation with kids that were in the psych unit at a hospital. And it ended up being one of my favorite things. I always say the only reason I didn't become a psych nurse is because their shifts are 8 hours and not 12. So you have to work another day. So that was the whole reason I didn't do psych. But
interesting.
I got to work with these kids and it was, I just spent the day with this one girl and she was probably like 12.
Wow.
And I just had like the most fun with her, like just, you know, getting to love on her and learn about her. And at the end of the day, when we were leaving, she had come up to me and during one of their sessions, she had drawn me a picture of us and said, thank you. And like signed it.
A picture of you and her?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Like with crayon in the most, it was just the sweetest thing. I have it somewhere. I have it in one of my nursing binders. I kept it and it was like in the front of my binder. So I was like, this is why I'm doing this. Because if I, that 12-year-old girl, I did something to make an impact on her. And that was like one of the most tender things I've ever experienced.
Yeah. It's so funny that you say that is the one that you had to think about and go back to, because as beautiful as it is that it was a 12-year-old girl, it is also unfortunate that most adults can't think like a 12-year-old girl, you know, because kids are so wonderful. And, you know, for her to like do that to you just shows how thankful she was for you. And I think it's just important for people in general to thank and show thanks and show love and care and support to nurses, you know, just more in general. Like,
yeah.
What, you know? It can't just be the 12-year-old little angel girls doing that.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be doing that more.
Yeah. I mean, that when you put it that way, it's so true. But that is more of a reason why I'm so excited to talk to you guys about the Daisy Foundation. Because this is something that truly just goes hand in hand with that. But a little bit about the Daisy Foundation. It was established in 1999. It's a nonprofit organization that was established in memory of J. Patrick Barnes by members of his family because of the compassionate care Patrick and his family received from the nurses while he was ill. As the international leader in meaningful recognition of nurses, the Daisy Foundation seeks to recognize and support nurses who have gone above and beyond to serve their patients and their families, expressing gratitude for the profound difference nurses can make in a person's life. They work to honor nurses internationally in over 5,900 healthcare facilities and schools of nursing and fund nursing research and evidence-based practice. And CeraVe, our sponsor for today, is actually a partner of the Daisy Foundation. CeraVe is a therapeutic skincare brand rooted in the medical community. CeraVe has an ongoing commitment to nurses, which I love. Last year, CeraVe entered a multi-year partnership with the Daisy Foundation to continue to further their commitment to the medical community and encourage and support generations of nurses who are tirelessly serving in the field. Together, CeraVe and the DAISY Foundation are on a mission to encourage patients and colleagues to thank and celebrate the nurses in their lives, both during National Nurses Week and year-round, because it's important to do that all the time.
All the time.
All of the time. And we are so happy to be partnering with CeraVe to continue to bring awareness to the resilient nurses serving in the field and to help direct individuals to beneficial resources that serve them. And we kind of thought, what better way to lead up to Nurses Week than to nominate someone?
Mm.
Yeah. Does that sound intriguing to you?
That sounds very intriguing to me. How do we do that?
So, Lemon Drops, I want you and you. No, you can't go and nominate me, so don't do that.
No, I know other nurses.
Okay, great.
You ain't my only nurse.
Great. It's Marissa, my best friend. I'm just teasing. Okay, I want you guys to think of a time you, a family member, a friend, someone you love, had a healthcare experience where a nurse made a difference in their life, in your life. We encourage you all to reach out and to share your stories with the DAISY Foundation and on social media. You can thank a nurse who's impacted your life by nominating them for the DAISY Award for Extraordinary Nurses. This process is as simple as writing a letter expressing gratitude for how they have positively impacted your life. You can learn more about nominating a nurse who has had a profound impact on your life by visiting daisyfoundation.org. I think this is something that is so important because nurses need to hear more thank yous.
Can never hear it enough.
Truly. The sacrifices that nurses give day in and day out is something that I'm just so proud to be a part of that group.
You want to prevent burnout?
Yeah.
Do this.
This.
This is what is going to prevent burnout. Burnout is going to exist.
Yeah.
There's never, unfortunately, I just don't think it's realistic for there never to be a world, especially in the nursing community, without burnout.
Yeah.
So you wanna help that burnout feel easier, get better.
Yeah.
By making people feel appreciated.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is the number one thing that will, you know, help ease burnout.
That's so true. I'll say it again. It's daisyfoundation.org. Daisy like the flower. Daisy like our guest last week. But thank you guys for coming in. I hope I was able to share a bit more about my experience and express things and not get too passionate about it because it's something that I love. I'm so sorry if I got a little heated. But thank you to CeraVe for sponsoring this episode and for the work that you guys are doing with the DAISY Foundation. It's just something that truly is so important. And I so encourage you guys to go and nominate someone.
Please, please do.
Share your gratitude with them because just that little thank you truly goes such a long way.
Yeah, it's true.
And be sure to mark your calendars, click that subscribe and follow button so you don't miss our episode next week, but also our Nurses Week episode. We are doing some fun stuff on our social medias for Nurses Week, and we're just excited to share more about nursing and the community and to thank our nurses a little more.
Amen, sister.
Amen. We will see you guys next week. Have a beautiful rest of your day. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being Lemon Drops.
Toodles.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.